Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Colleen Elders is probably one of the more balanced people in this regard, and I wanted to catch up with her on the subject. A very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You know, so I made a comment on social media the other day that to some extent, Bitcoin traders and proponents of ivermectin are quite similar on social media. And I would venture that it's probably not doing the ivermectin discussion any good. Why do you think we've got these two incredibly difficult, disparate views on the subject of ivermectin?
The disparate views are coming globally. And I think it's because of the way the communications are coming out and people having their territories and a little bit of hysteria. And we've got disparate research coming out. We've got international research doing meta-analyses that show that with moderate risk, we can reduce the mortality rate with ivermectin to 62% on average. That is scientifically done research. Then we've got our own NEMLC, who are not professionals at doing rapid reviews, come up and say, working, only use it in a clinical setting. But I think one of the biggest problems is everybody said, use ivermectin. And that was the message that was coming out since the beginning of the year. What has now emerged for me is people are saying, use ivermectin, but here's the cocktail that has to go with it. You need other drugs that help it access the cell.
Ah.
You need drugs to help with the immune system now. Is that ivermectin certainly does work when you use other things with it, quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, doxycycline, etc. So there are cocktails coming out, and Thomas Barodi from Australia has got a triple treatment cocktail, and there doctors are beginning to see that it works.
That's
but I've also seen on social media people coming out with all sorts of...
That's a problem, right? Because you're conducting research, you're doing this methodically and scientifically, but you've got this barrage of sometimes, honestly, quite bizarre information that I know that anytime I post something about COVID-19, I get a barrage of ivermectin messages, and they're relentless. They are absolutely relentless. And it makes me think immediately, gosh, this bunch are lunatics. But then I speak to you and I hear a measured scientific approach, and I think this is just a completely different world.
I think that's what people should be doing. They should be following the science. Hmm. And we've got some people who are risk averse, and so they are following the science. And our NEMLC rapid review that said for them, when they followed the science, there's no conclusive evidence. And that is not an incorrect statement. There's no conclusive evidence. But the Bryant et al. Paper that came out before that looked at similar research, and they've said that there is moderate certainty that this does work. So we've got different scientists taking different viewpoints, and the emerging science globally is saying, yes, we are lacking the certainty, and the certainty comes from large double-blinded randomized controlled trials, which I think we've discussed before, are not likely to happen anytime soon because of costs. But the fact that we've got enough data to say that this is likely to reduce mortality and reasonably to be effective in prophylaxis means that it could be rolled out if you made an alpha error decision, which is give it to everybody, and if it doesn't work, so what? It's not going to do any harm. But our NEMLC's point of view is, are we going to make a beta decision? We don't want you to use, and whether it works or not, we don't want you to use it. And I think that is problematic because ivermectin is available legally and doctors can use it, but they don't know how to use it.
That's also interesting because it's clear that they don't. One of the things that Dr. Marburg mentioned in a podcast yesterday was that Oxford is undertaking some research which he believes might, depending on the result, might change the view for ivermectin. Is that in its infancy? How far along are they on that?
The Oxford research is a well-designed study, except for possibly a very low dose. They're only going to be using a low dose for 3 days, and that might not, in the current circumstances, give a statistically significant difference. But they're looking for a big sample size, so it may very well do so. Mm. I think with that particular study, we should see what the results are and continue studies. Because all the negative studies I've seen that have come out are not saying that ivermectin does not work. What it's saying is they have not reached statistical significance in their research. And certainly right. There's no research that's come out saying it's a waste of time to use it or that it's harmful.
From what you
haven't come across any harm.
From what you're seeing, where do you see the role? And obviously you're looking at all the different research, some of which you can rely on, some of which you can't. Where do you see, ultimately, we're going to see the role of ivermectin with regard to COVID-19?
I think at the moment there are two roles. One for prophylaxis, where the people have not yet been vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
or where you've got a family, particularly, where there's one person that gets COVID and the rest have not yet been vaccinated. And they should be getting some sort of prophylaxis because this Delta strain is a lot more virulent.
For sure.
You know, if somebody in the home gets it, the other people in the home that will get it. So pre-vaccination, I think it should be made available to people who need it. And then secondly, for the people who get sick. So even if you have been vaccinated and you get sick with COVID, which is happening, then it's a therapeutic. Mm. It will help you get through the disease. It's certainly not a replacement for the vaccine.
Of course.
And I don't want that message ever to get out. It's not going to, ivermectin cannot on its own make COVID disappear. But if we have large scale rollouts of vaccines, and they're going to have to develop, the first ones are working to some degree, but not working brilliantly. We need these vaccines to eradicate this disease.
And the other point that I just want to go back to that you made earlier is that there's a good likelihood, in your view, that it won't be ivermectin on its own, but perhaps with all sorts of other, maybe vitamin D, zinc, and other items that will bolster it.
Yes. Ivermectin on its own can only do so much, but when it's given with a cocktail of drugs and a triple therapy that's come from Australia, it's being used quite extensively in the States with doxycycline and zinc. Ivermectin is a lot more effective, but ivermectin on its own has, from looking at the research, has a lot more limited impact.
And I think that's relevant as well. The other point being that not everybody medically is very clear on how to use the drug and how to prescribe it correctly. Which obviously is a concern.
Yes, and there are some protocols out there, and I'm asked almost 2 or 3 times a week to put together documents or webinars to help doctors to find out how to, because the treatment for prophylaxis is different to the treatment in early disease and late disease. So if anybody wants a webinar, we can put together a team to help people find out how to use ivermectin.
I think that would be very, very helpful. And finally, of course, the point that I raised to begin with is how do you keep this narrative sensible versus the some of the crazy things that we're seeing out there?
I think very much the tone of the things that come out is people are hysterical and one generally steps back. But what's becoming increasingly difficult for me is I see respected people across the globe coming out with different things. And I think what has affected me most in the last 10 days is the difference between the rapid review done by our South African NEMLC and rather well-experienced people from the UK who came out with a review of the data. And they've come out with looking at the data very similarly, but where one group will say there's moderate risk here, go ahead and use it. The other saying, is moderately at risk, so you're not going to use it. It's becoming a little bit subjective. And that is a problem. If it's a problem for me, it's going to be a problem for
absolutely
people who are not
medical. Well, we're fortunate because we can always refer to you. And that's exactly what we are going to do. We're going to place it quite squarely back to you, Professor Colleen Elders, Clinical Research at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Unfortunately, I do need to leave it there.